USA, third section. The first quarter has been very challenging in North America. North America has been responding to multiple stresses. Of course, one is very extreme weather in many parts of the country, whether it's too much snow and too much cold or too much drought. So let's focus just on several key areas where the local action can make an enormous difference in building a stronger economy. The 1-2 punch on small business is the first thing I want to talk about. Small business is taking it on the chin, on the stomach, in the back. It's incredible. We started with Obamacare, which is a tremendous burden on small business. Then, of course, small businesses struggled with the heating bills or the energy bills that come with the kind of weather we've had in many different parts of the country. But then, of course, the weather hurt sales for many businesses as well. So they've really struggled with the economic hit of Obamacare, then the economic hit of weather and heating bills. They're struggling with the shift from retail 2.0 to 3.0. That requires time and an investment in new technology. And that's a big struggle. And a lot of little businesses and retail are getting shifted out by the online stores. We have the president and states working on minimum wage. That can change the economics of many small businesses, including putting some out of business. We continue to have more and more regulatory burdens and enforcement, and of course, I don't think that's an accident. For example, food safety rules are, to me, designed absolutely to facilitate the roll-up of small farms and small grocery stores into companies that are publicly traded and give big political donations. Finally, tax time is very painful because small business is paying its taxes. And I put up this story we had up on the blog that 26 top American corporations paid no federal income tax from 2008 to 2012. So the hypocrisy is enormous. And of course, we see many American corporations building up just unprecedented cash stores offshore. They can't bring them back without paying taxes, so they just keep them offshore. They're not bringing them home and paying taxes. But again, the double standard, as it is for individuals, is very painful for small business people. All of these things mean that small business can't grow employment the way it could. And that, of course, is very painful. We see in the new Treasury budget justifications on next year's budget a proposal that any business, I think more than 10, is mandated to require a 401k. Now, what that means as a practical matter is a company, all these small businesses are going to put a percent of their profit into a 401k, which is going to require by law to be invested in the big corporations who are coming into that neighborhood and trying to take away their market share. It's a little bit like financing the guy you're competing with, and if you keep doing that, you're going to fail. I would say the question, of course, in all this is, well, Catherine, where's the opportunity? One of the opportunities when you create those 401ks, get together at the Rotary or the Chamber, get together with everybody locally and figure out how you can create a 401k with a component where money is flows into local investment opportunities, a community venture fund, community REIT, community loan program. There are lots of different ways to do it, but it's time we started to get together and think strategically. Lots of small businesses putting a tiny portion of their money into 401ks where employees can check an option that allows local investment. Wow, that's a real opportunity. Our cartoonist, Bob Parsons, did a wonderful cartoon on taxation. It's up on the comic book. I recommend it to you. The targeting of municipal officials and public pension funds. Oh my God, now we have Warren Buffett calling public pension funds tapeworms. It's like, Warren, you stole my expression. That's not the first time he's used it. What is this all about? It is very important if Mr. Global is going to control politically and control the resources that we get the local, state and local officials out of the way and we get control of the public pension funds before we try and re-engineer government money by place. If we re-engineer government money and re-engineer investment by place before they get control of the public pension funds, guess who's going to control the action? It's going to be the public pension funds in combination with those state and local officials. So it's a little bit like, you know, before the game begins, you attack your chief competitor so you can make sure you have control. Not to say that Some public pension funds don't have problems. We see all sorts of studies from the Pew Foundation, others. I think a lot of it is exaggerated generally. I think the public pension funds have done a relatively good job. The big problem public pension funds have is on the healthcare side. It's not so much their pension benefits, but on the healthcare benefits where they're woefully underfunded. But you certainly can't point a finger at them. Take a look at the whole federal government. The other problem is as we go into a world where more and more of the population live in megacities, that gives the mayors and state officials a lot more power than the feds. So this is really, think of this as the same, as I said, the businesses are cutting into each other's margins. You see the feds moving in on the state and local governments. They want the cash flows. They want the power. They want the authority. And now with the technology, they really don't need, we don't need a very paperful, expensive state, federal, local government. And so the question is going to be who gets re-engineered out, who gets automated. And so I would say that the best offense, the best defense is a good offense. And that's what you see folks like the federal government who have got the Department of Justice running around and trying to do criminal indictments of Tom, Dick, and Harry, including for, you know, games with traffic patterns. So see this for what it is. It's also part of the scapegoating government. We've taken all the assets out of government, moved them into private corporations, moved all the liabilities back. And now that the governments have all the liabilities, we're going to blame all the problems on them. And the private guys are going to be the good guys. They've got the money. You know, they've got the technology. They're going to control. And this is just a way of, you know, the ultimate liability is blaming the government for everything that happened. So see this for what it is. It's a clever offense that's really sort of parading, you know, or is happening in place of a what should be a defense. As our hero for the quarter is someone very that I just learned about. We, on the Solari Report in the first quarter, we had the wonderful PBS documentary on Louisville about the Louisville Orchestra and the relationship between the economic health of Louisville and its dedication to great music. And it told the story of Mayor Charlie Farnsworth, who was the mayor of Louisville, a remarkable man, an attorney by trade, became the mayor. As the mayor led the effort to raise capital and interest in building really one of the most avant-garde orchestras in the world and in encouraging and attracting composers from all over the world to do it. It's quite remarkable. As I said to one of the people at the Solari team, because one of the things he did was got a grant from the Rockefeller Foundation. Can you imagine the Rockefeller Foundation did something really, really wonderful? Anyway, but it's a great story. Charlie Farnsworth finally ran for Congress, got up to Congress, was there for 2 years and said, that's it, I'm never coming back, and refused to run for another term. This is a man near and dear to my heart. He invented Rebel Yell Whiskey, which is one of my favorite whiskeys, and started a press for Southern writing called Lost Cause Press, a true Renaissance man. But his story shows the extraordinary things that one person can do. It doesn't, in fact, it reminds me a little bit that I truly love the mayor of Hickory Valley. And in fact, I got him to promise he would join us on the Solari Report in October. He runs the, among other hats, he runs the Hickory Valley Cotton Gin, and is an extraordinary example of somebody who, wearing all these different hats, whether it's creating businesses and creating employment or serving as the mayor, makes the place fantastic. And part of the key to success in any place is you got to find the Charlie Farnsworths and support them. And that is our opportunity in the election this year. Forget about the Supreme Court. Forget about, you know, what the feds are up to. Forget presidential elections. There is so much can be done if we get the Charlie Farnsworths in control locally. It's so, so important. So 2014 election, pay close attention to the local elections. You can get a lot done there. Unemployment, what's the plan? We had a great Solari Report in the first quarter with John Williams from Shadow Stats. We now have more than 100 million Americans on mean-tested subsidies, and we're expecting 40 to 50% of the current jobs to be automated in the next decade or two. What's the plan? How exactly is this supposed to work? I will tell you, when I worked in Washington in the early 1990s, the plan at that time was, well, let's get give everybody the equivalent of those dollars, $600, and have everybody live on that. Sometimes I see, as I watch household income fall. It's as though they're trying to re-engineer expenses down so that everybody can live on $600 a month. I continue to be baffled by what the plan is, but I will tell you there's extraordinary opportunity. Speaking of workarounds, one of the great workarounds is if we take the federal budget and the state and local budget and say, okay, where are we paying somebody $25 an hour to do something that someone in this here neighborhood would be happy to do for $10 plus healthcare? There are unbelievable untold reengineering opportunities, and I always use, I'm going to bore you guys to death with the food stamp example. We are outsourcing customer service, last time I looked, in 37 states to JPMorgan Chase in India, where for a big markup, they're doing the jobs that the people who are getting food stamps could do, and if they were doing those jobs, they wouldn't need food stamps. So we're paying twice for one function. Makes no sense, not to mention the fact that there's beaucoup farmland lying fallow, people who would love to do farming, and that farming is economic, but for the food safety rules and all the different enforcement games. So if you take a look at our economy by place and the government budgets, what you discover is a lot of corporate earnings are held up with government contracts and government purchases that are not economic. They're fees for our friends, as I have told that story many times, but we're all guilty of playing the fees for our friends game. And we need to start looking, it's called participatory budgeting, we need to start looking at how the money works in our place, and we need to start bleeding into those margins that are occurring on a non-economic basis. And don't think for a second that the reason they don't want that constitutional convention is they know we're going to start doing that if things keep going the way they are going, and they want the kind of control that they need to stop it. So, one, don't support a constitutional convention, and two, start looking at how all the money works in your place and seeing where the opportunities are for you and your business and your family. They're bound to be there. One of the things I did is I put up in the comic book a chart that shows, we put up John Williams' shadow stats description of what he believes real unemployment is, but we also put up the average U.S. per capita income in the country compared to the average federal employee salary right now. The average U.S. per capita income, $42,000. The average federal employee salary is $78,000. So we're all paying our taxes so the people who make $78,000 a year can institute all sorts of stuff outside the law and which are great for generating more wealth for the 0.01% and bad for us. So I know many, and I've worked with many wonderful federal employees, and I'm sure some of them are sitting there thinking, oh, that's way too cool. But unfortunately, it's really not. And, you know, you just cannot have a federal government where people are paid double at the civil service level with what the average household income is. It's just not a plan.